Welcome to episode 26 of the Tag Teamers podcast, going over everything noteworthy from Friday Night SmackDown last night. Roman Reigns, first night back on SmackDown in a long time. What did you think?
I thought this made a mockery of the new bloodline. I mean, for months we've been watching them beat down most of the SmackDown roster just for Roman to come back and single-handedly take care of all of them.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, I don't know. It's hard to say that they were intentionally doing it the whole time with the way they were having them beat Cody Rhodes down and Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. But I mean, they're just, I think right at this point, we're supposed to think that they're idiots. I think we're supposed to think that Solo's an idiot, Tama Tonga and Tongaloa are both idiots and just incompetent. Just dummies, and Roman's here to take back what was his. Like I really don't think at this point that we're supposed to think that the bloodline, the new bloodline is like made up of competent people.
Yeah, I mean they're doing a good job of making them look stupid. You know, like the fact that every week it's an ambush, a sneak attack, and they can lay out the top stars. But this week, when Roman's advertised and after he attacked Solo at SummerSlam, this is how you follow it up, by letting him take care of all three of you. Obviously, Jacob Fatu's not there, which I guess can play the big factor. But, I mean, the rest of these three, it was just a waste of everything we've done the last few months.
Yeah, I think it would have been the same thing even if Jacob Fatu was there. But I don't think it's a waste. Like I was suspicious of it even a month ago, but then I was like, that theory's probably wrong. I just think we were supposed to think they're stupid the whole time, and a lot of people just a lot of fans that watch didn't think that because they thought that we're supposed to think that they're like these awesome badasses now. For whatever reason. So I think a lot of fans just kind of interpreted it incorrectly, which I mean is kind of the WWE's fault for making people think that. But yeah, man, I think the whole time we were supposed to think that they're idiots. I really do now. Even though they were beating up Cody Rhodes, you know, when you have the numbers, you can do that no matter how stupid you are, really. I just think the whole time they were painted as incompetent, just sloppy, and a farce of what the old bloodline was.
I think you're being too generous to Triple H. That's what I think. I don't think this was by design. I think this is just his bad booking. I don't think that, you know, for months we would have had Solo being hyped up and pinning Cody Rhodes on PLE main events like he did at Money in the Bank. And then Roman Reigns... He's returned and he turned face for the first time after 4+ years. I don't think they would be putting him in a storyline with somebody they were meaning to make look stupid. I think it just happened because Triple H had some issues booking Solo along the way.
Yeah, that's probably one of the few times that you'll think I'm being generous to Triple H, because honestly, I don't really even like Triple H that much in terms of creativity. But, I mean, you think maybe he just... Okay, let's say I am wrong, and it wasn't supposed to be like this the whole time. Do you think he just realized, like, a few weeks ago, like, oh, Solo sucks. Like, all these guys suck. He probably still likes Jacob Fatu, maybe, but otherwise... I mean, Tama Tonga's okay, but you think he just realized, like, this isn't it, they don't have it, and he just had to switch course a little bit?
I think we'll have a better idea, you know, within the next few months. I think we'll be able to tell by the booking. You know, if Roman Reigns is feuding with these guys for 6 months, I don't think that's the case. I don't think Triple H even, you know, came to realization of that. You know, if this feud's over in 2 months, then yeah, maybe. But I still think we're getting war games with the bloodline versus the original bloodline. So that takes us till at least November. So I think, you know, the fact that Roman's going to be feuding with these guys for the next 3 months, I think shows that the Triple H doesn't think this with Solo. I think he probably thinks Solo's a main event guy, and that's why He was main event in SummerSlam, main event in Money in the Bank.
Yeah. I was just thinking last night, as I was watching the show, I could see after this storyline is over, which, I mean, again, it could be a long time, Solo and the rest of those guys really just fall down the card, like, significantly.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the only thing that they have is Copy and Roman right now, you know? Like, outside of that, there's no real steam with this group. I mean, even the fact that Solo, I'm not even a fan that his whole gimmick right now is trying to beat Roman. You know, the acknowledge me he uses, the necklace he wears. He calls himself the tribal chief. There's nothing going on for Solo there. It's just kind of, he's a copy, and once that storyline's over and that feud, he obviously can't cling on to Roman's character. So it'll be interesting to see where they try to book him. But I mean, keep in mind, John Cena's last PLE, he got squashed by Solo. So, like, I think they're really trying to do everything they can to put Solo in that main event scene.
Yeah. I mean, without that, he has nothing. His gimmick is just that he's Samoan and he's related to Roman Reigns.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of this whole current version of the Bloodline. Especially,
right.
I mean, obviously, Jacob Fatu, we know he's athletic, but Tama Tonga's got some character, but like Tongaloa, I mean, he's only there because he is related to them. You know, like, it's crazy that some people like Lashley just left the company and he can't get TV time, but Tongaloa's featured, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times every Friday night.
Yeah, the guy can't hold the title up straight.
Yeah, right. He just doesn't belong. You know, like that's a guy that even if he was on NXT, I think he'd be being criticized just with how out of place he is. He looks like he's pretending to be a wrestler.
Yeah, they all do. Honestly, yeah. They all do. Again, Tama Tonga is the one I hate the least, but I don't like any of them. Not even a little bit. Maybe just that much for Tama Tonga, but no good. What's more believable? The necklace or the CM Punk bracelet?
I'll say the necklace because it actually represents something within, you know, the Samoan culture, whereas the bracelet was just a fan-made gift that, it, you know, has no true meaning outside of this storyline, whereas the necklace at least does symbolize something within their culture. So I'm okay more so with the necklace, and obviously it represents who the tribal chief is, so it makes more sense. But yeah, I mean, on Raw we're getting a storyline over a necklace, and on a bracelet, and on SmackDown we're getting it with a necklace. It's kind of, yeah, they're two different articles of, you know, clothing or, you know, accessories, but it's kind of weird that they're overlapping at the same time.
Yeah, I just wish with the necklace, don't you think they could make it a little bit more extravagant than just a string with some flowers on it? Are they even real flowers?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I doubt it, right? Like, you know, you'd think they could have something a little nicer made.
Yeah. I mean, but especially, it doesn't really even look good on Solo. You know, it doesn't add much there. I don't really even like the way it looks on Roman, but yeah, I feel like the WWE, you know, obviously they're very good on the pageantry, and I feel like they could have made that thing look a little better.
Yeah, nothing looks good on Solo, but the funniest thing to me, man, is when Solo's standing in the ring with his mad face on, and he's like, does this, he's all hunched over and everything.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to take you seriously? I just don't understand. It's not possible. I don't know how fans have brainwashed themselves into thinking that he is supposed to be taken seriously, or should be, at least. Whether or not we're supposed to or not, I don't know. I guess I have no idea. I just don't know how anybody could.
Yeah, no, and I mean, all over Twitter, everyone says, you know, they got the most aura, or this is the best storyline. And I mean, the Judgment Day is kicking this the Bloodline's ass in terms of storytelling, honestly, and I don't even think it's close. I think the Judgment Day is way more compelling. It's elevating people, you know, to different spots, whereas the Bloodline's not doing that. And I think right now, yeah, they're just going to be fed to Roman, and this thing in a year from now, we won't even be talking about it. I think it'll flopped, and I'm not sure what Solo's future will even look like after that, but I don't think it's promising.
Yeah, I don't understand why, like, why is this storyline even compelling to people?
I think it's just the family aspect. I think it's easy to get behind, you know, families fighting, disagreements, and things like that, you know. But one thing I don't like is Roman's shirt being OTC, which is supposed to represent original tribal chief. I feel like that gives too much credibility to Solo. Because if you have to say you're the original tribal chief, aren't you kind of admitting that there's another tribal chief?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But what I don't get is, okay, let's just say they were just a bunch of regular white dudes. I don't think anybody would care at all. Like, why does them all being Samoan add so much to it for people?
I think it's just the history of the Samoan family within wrestling, you know, spans back 60 years. And, you know, we've had so many legendary wrestlers come from that family. I think that's it. They just get a certain level of respect just because of who their uncle or cousin or grandfather is.
How much of it is the WWE telling us, though, that, hey, this is the top storyline? You know, like, if they just started saying, oh, hey, the Judgment Day is the top storyline, like, this is the top of the card, would everyone then start to believe that? Like, is it just they're so, the way it's booked has so much of an influence of the way, on the way people perceive it?
I think part of it, yeah, certainly, because they're getting the spots in these PLE main events, you know, where if they were being booked as, you know, the second, third, fourth, fifth match on the card rather than the last match, maybe people wouldn't give it so much credibility. And honestly, maybe if they didn't try to give it so much credibility, we wouldn't be so critical of it.
Right.
Like, that's my biggest issue, is that they're trying to make this look like it's an A-plus storyline, and I just don't really think it's that. Especially, like, I mean, Solo going from feuding with Cody Rhodes to now feuding with Roman Reigns, I mean, what more could you ask for as a wrestler right now?
Right, yeah. The problem is, I don't know what alternatives they could even have. You know, like, with the roster SmackDown has, I don't know what else. I mean, it seems like they don't even know what to have Cody do right now. I mean, they're just, you know, sticking him. So is he going to be done with the Bloodline now for the time being?
Seems that way.
And it's just going to be a kind of a separate world, him and Kevin Owens, probably Bloodline sprinkled in a little bit, and then, but separately, the Bloodline and Roman. And Cody's just like, I don't know. They're like, well, we don't really know what to do with Cody for this next month. So, well, we'll stick him in there with Kevin Owens. We'll say it's because Kevin deserves it for defending him and all this.
Yeah, which
it makes sense, but it's super lame. Like, it makes sense for their characters, but it's extremely lame, of course.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Roman helped save Cody, you know, at SummerSlam. And then now Roman's just going to feud with the Bloodline while Cody's just off and doing his own thing. You know, he's not going to back Roman up, even though Roman backed him up when he most needed it. I mean, that's kind of heelish in my book. That's not something a babyface would do.
Yeah. I don't know that, you know, again, though, I don't know if the Roman thing was really it wasn't a save Cody thing. It was just, he wanted to destroy the Bloodline.
Right. Which makes sense. But, I mean, yeah, even, I think they made it very clear they don't know what to do with the WWE title. Because I think that whole segment with Owens and Cody was garbage. I think it's pretty stupid that a wrestler is lobbying to not get the WWE title shot. the most prestigious prize in the game. He says, nah, I'm not worthy. Give it to somebody else.
Yeah, that was crazy to me. Yeah, that was one of the worst. That was one of the worst segments probably that I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it just didn't make any sense. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I would love to see Kevin Owens win the title. I would not be upset if that's how Cody's story ends within the next 2 months, as Kevin Owens takes the title. But when you're building towards the pay-per-view or the PLE with segments like that, it's just not going to work. Like, what's the next 3 weeks going to look like? Owens continuing to say he doesn't deserve it? I mean, how is that compelling? You got to think about it. If you're trying to fill arenas or sell pay-per-views or anything like that, what you want to do is build the story, build the match, make it can't miss, make it the most anticipated thing on the show. Not one guy saying, I don't even deserve this opportunity. Okay, if you don't think you deserve that opportunity, why are the fans going to think you deserve that opportunity? And if we don't think you deserve the opportunity, why are we interested?
Right. Do you think they can do a quick Kevin Owens heel turn before Bash in Berlin? Or do you think it's just going to be weeks of mutually respectful promos, just being like, oh, let the best man win. Let the best man win. Well, you know, we'll see who the better man is at Bash in Berlin. Can't wait for it. Look forward to seeing you there.
That's what I expect for Bash in Berlin. Is it's just them kind of build that way. It's just mutual respect and some more of this. I don't think Owens will turn that quickly, but what I could see happening is this turns to be a 2-3-4 month storyline, and Owens turns following Bash in Berlin. You know, and then if Owens turns heel following their match, and then makes this story go a little longer, then that'll make sense, and I'm okay with that. And then I could see Owens potentially taking the title off him, honestly, if he gets going as a heel, because he could pick up steam like anybody can, you know, in terms of being a heel. So I think that's the move. I don't know exactly how they get there. Maybe it'll be something along the lines of Cody beats him, and then maybe that same night they try to do a handshake or something, and Owens just brutally beats him down or something. But Owens obviously needs to go heel to make this story work.
Yeah, I mean, if they were going to do it before, like leading up to Bash in Berlin already, it would have to be like next week on SmackDown. Kevin Owens is like, you know what, I was thinking about it, and blah, 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 and he goes into this tirade. But I don't expect that to happen. I don't expect Kevin Owens to have a chance of winning. But yeah, if it's a multi-month thing, I wouldn't mind that either. But I just think for the next few weeks or month, when is Bash in Berlin? End of the month?
August 31st.
Yeah. Just up until then, it's going to be a snooze fest. But I think after that, it could get interesting.
Yeah, I think this kind of has to be a couple month thing too, because I mean, when you look at the SmackDown roster, obviously it's very thin at the top. So there's not really people waiting to feud with Cody. So it would be in their best interest to draw this out and hopefully turn him heel. I mean, how would you feel if Owens takes the title off of Cody and that's how his title reign ends?
It wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
I don't really care when Cody's reign ends at this point. And I think Owens would be good to just hold the title for somebody else to easily take it off of him in a fairly short amount of time.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Especially, we'll see what they do with the Bloodline Civil War, but right now, the current version of the Bloodline has 4 members. Of course, we have Jacob Fatu injured, so we'll see how that plays into it. But, you know, Hikaleya is rumored to be signed. So you would imagine that they're going to grow to 5. The original Bloodline only has 4 members, if you count Sami Zayn. They would need a 5th member for War Games. I wouldn't be against Cody dropping the belt by War Games, and he's the 5th member for that team. And then, you know, let Owens cook his champ.
Yeah, see, that I can get behind. I can certainly get behind that. I think that would be fantastic. I mean, they've got to handle it correctly, but on paper, that sounds pretty good to me. I would like to see Cody and Roman teaming up.
Yeah, and I kind of think that's what we're going to get. And that's the direction it should go. And, you know, if we're going to get that, I want to see the WWE title off of Cody. Because, I mean, honestly, I think this title reign has sucked so far anyways. But the last thing I want to do is see him wrestling in another PLE without defending the title.
Yeah. I think some Cody Roman promos against Solo would cook.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, another interesting thing is we still haven't seen Heyman, which I was kind of surprised. You know, we didn't get him at SummerSlam. We didn't get him on SmackDown. So that's something to keep in the back pocket. You know, maybe it was a setup and he will align with Solo in that version of the Bloodline.
Solo needs it. I think he needs Heyman more than Roman does at this point. I was holding out hope as Roman was coming out last night, though, that Heyman would coming out behind him, but didn't happen.
Yeah, still not happening. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, I think Roman and Cody teaming up against this version of the Bloodline makes all the sense in the world. And I do hope that's what we get, and I hope Owens takes the title.
Yeah, let's end this new version of the Bloodline. I think let's have some fun with the comedy of it, of how bad they are for the next 6 months or whatever it is. And then let's move on to Roman Rock.
Yeah.
And then we'll have Cena back too. And so we'll have some good stuff going on. But yeah, I'm not even going to be mad about Solo and those jobbers anymore. I'm just going to enjoy it.
Yeah, just enjoy them getting beat.
Yep.
At the end of the day, that's what a heel's job is supposed to do anyways, is to make you enjoy them getting beat up. So there's a lot to look forward to there. You want to talk LA Knight's next challenger?
Yeah. Jobber Santos Escobar. Another jobber. LA Knight stumbled on the mic a little bit when he came out. Just once. It's okay. And then Santos Escobar beating Andrade with the help of Carmelo. I was like, oh, we're not getting Carmelo Andrade, but of course he showed up. So,
yeah, LA Knight also, I don't know if you noticed, but before he even gets in the ring, he goes to the second rope to do his pose, and he slips off there too. So he had a mic stumble.
Didn't notice that.
Yeah, so.
Damn it.
Yeah, so. That's kind of an issue, but yeah, Santos, I'm not a fan of him. I think he's mid. I don't really think this will do a whole lot, but it just gets a defense for LA Knight and, you know, lets him continue as U.S. champ, so I don't have an issue with it. I'm glad we got some development with Andrade and Carmelo. You know, that's still going somewhere. I think those two still got plenty of matches left. As we talked about, they're in-ring. They're the best part of SmackDown every week, so that's all right. I would imagine Andrade or Carmelo will probably ultimately be the ones to take the U.S. title off of LA Knight. Hopefully down the road quite a bit. But, yeah, this makes sense for now.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think whoever emerges from Andrade, Carmelo, which will probably be Andrade, will ultimately be the actual test for LA Knight. And maybe he'll defend against him. Maybe he won't. Probably not, but too early to say, obviously. Obviously, Santos is not going to beat him. He's no good. So, yeah, easy defense for LA Knight coming up, and we'll probably get at least another few matches from Andrade Carmelo, and then one of them will face LA Knight maybe at the pay-per-view following the PLE following Bash in Berlin.
Yeah, which could line up. I mean, even if they do a triple threat with LA Knight, Andrade, Carmelo, I feel like that could work. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for that. I'm glad the U.S. title is finally going to be featured weekly, and these guys deserve it. So that's good. Santos, though, they keep putting him in these spots. I just don't ever think it's going to work with him.
No. I don't believe anything he does or says.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. We also saw the start of a tag team tournament. Who you leaning towards to win it? I mean, DIY win, Street Profits win. what do you expect to see the next challengers for the Bloodline?
So who wins, DIY or the Street Profits, to face them? DIY. Yeah. I think DIY. Yeah. I don't see the Street Profits facing them. And DIY is the only ones who have a chance of beating them.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm leaning right now. I think they'll probably get DIY just so the Bloodline can beat them up again. I'm glad that we are doing like number one contenders matches, because we did the tournament. We did the U.S. Number one contenders match. But I also like sometimes when they just tell a story of this guy wants the belt. And, you know, it doesn't always have to be a number one contenders match. Sometimes it can just be you have the belt, I want it. You know, that's enough story for me sometimes. Another thing is, like, especially when we do a tournament, we just did the gauntlet a few weeks ago. Like, it's a little redundant with the tag teams right now. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I haven't really felt that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fan of tag team matches in general, so, but I haven't noticed it being just overbearing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Another thing, we didn't even have Nia on the show, which kind of sticks out to me. She's the new women's champion, and they can't even feature her on the show.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I mean, we got Tiffany and Chelsea, which, honestly, even though they don't have the belt, that's more important to me. I think that's more entertaining to everybody. But I guess we're getting a big party next week for Nia. That's what it sounds like.
Which should have happened on this episode. You know, she's newly crowned champion, and we're going to wait 2 weeks to celebrate her, which is kind of weird to me. Maybe, honestly, like, there was time that you could have cut from this show. Like, when Solo interrupts Cody in the opening segment, just cut that 3-5 minutes off. You know, that did nothing for me anyways. You know, I feel like when a new champion is crowned, you know, they should be on the show following, you know, to just have their moment and add the prestige to the title.
Yeah, probably need like 12 minutes or so for that, but they could have found that.
Yeah, we didn't need both tag matches, you know, for the tournament on this episode. I think they could have had the time for it, but whatever, we'll get it next week.
Yep.
Anything else from the show?
We had A-Town Down Under, a little bit more.
Yeah.
More drama from them. Theory sets Grayson Waller up against, who was it again?
Owens.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, Grayson Waller didn't like that too much. So now, I mean, the tide turns a little bit. Theory putting Grayson Waller in harm's way rather than vice versa.
Yeah. Looks like the turn, it's probably going to be drawn out a few weeks now or a few months. Like, if these two keep going back and forth of, you know, putting each other in bad spots, I'm okay with that. I don't need them to break up right now, especially because I don't think the tag division really needs those two to separate right now. So if you want to keep putting them in these random tag matches, you know, let somebody beat them and just let those two continue to have a little frustration, I'm okay with that. I kind of like them setting each other up. Like, I like how Grayson's upset with Theory for putting him in a match with Owens. But if you think about it in kayfabe, why would you be upset that you're facing the number one contender for the WWE title? Because if you beat him, you should have an argument for the title match, right? Following, or maybe even a replacement or an addition. So that part doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I think it's just the coward heel kind of archetype that he's being played into. You know, he's not necessarily, I mean, like, they are cocky, but not when it actually comes down to it, then they're scared.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, they're drawing out the turn for Theory a long time, because I think a month ago we were like, oh yeah, might be next week we finally get it officially. And we've been saying that every single week, I think, since then.
Yeah, and I think if they pulled the trigger 3 weeks ago, the timing wouldn't have been off. But I also don't really feel like the timing's off if we continue to tell a good story with them.
Yeah. And then the only other thing we had, I believe, was Jade versus, was Alba Fire, right? Not Isla Dawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Jade versus Alba Fire. Blair Davenport comes in again after the match to attack them. And then Naomi comes in for the save.
Yeah, which
pretty
looks
much
like,
about it. Not a whole lot to say.
Yeah, it looks like we're really drawing out Jade and Bianca getting those tag titles back because they're probably building towards a six-woman tag probably at the next PLE or around then. So I'm not sure when Jade and Bianca are going to end up getting the tag titles now.
Yeah. Longer reign than expected for Alba Fire and Isla Dawn.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think that was it though.
Yeah.
I think we covered every single thing that happened. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Tag Teamers Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to follow, subscribe, like, comment, leave a review wherever you're watching or listening. We will be back again either Sunday or Monday. What are we doing?
We're going to predict every current main roster champion who they will lose their title to.
Okay. Yep, so just be on the lookout for that.